Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, January 9th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
President Trump makes a primetime bid for his border wall.
There is a growing humanitarian and security crisis at our southern border.
The U.S. and China wrap up trade talks in Beijing.
Global stocks surge as risk assets rise and havens slump.
And investors await the latest policy clues from the Fed.
Top congressional Democrats responded to President Trump's address on border security.
President Trump must stop holding the American people hostage, must stop manufacturing a crisis.
I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Knicks, the Rangers, the Devils, Islanders, and St. John's all lost.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
And risk assets are rising this morning as havens slump. It is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 10 points this morning. Dow futures up 99. NASDAQ futures up 30. The DAX in Germany is up 1.1%. The CAC in Paris up about the same. FTSE 100 up 0.8%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 1.1%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong jumped 2.25%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.73%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.58%. NYMEX crude oil up 2.2%, or $1.09 to $50.87 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.3%, or $3.70 to $12.82.20 an ounce. The euro, $1.1461. The yen, 108.90. And this data check brought to you by SEI. Build on advanced technologies and 50 years of innovation. SEI offers asset managers a comprehensive and flexible operations outsourcing platform. Go to SEIC.com/IMS. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with President Trump's primetime bid for a border wall.
The federal government remains shut down for one reason and one reason only. Because Democrats will not fund border security.
The address from the Oval Office offered no new path to end the government shutdown. Neither did the response from Democratic leaders Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi.
No president should pound the table and demand he gets his way, or else the government shuts down, hurting millions of Americans who are treated as leverage.
President Trump must stop holding the American people hostage, must stop manufacturing a crisis, and must reopen the government.
The partial government shutdown is now in its 19th day.
Turning to trade now, talks between the U.S. and China have concluded in Beijing. Negotiators extended discussions into a third day after initial plans called for just 2 days of talks. And Bloomberg's Jenny Leonard says plans are already in the works for another round of negotiations.
What we've heard is that a meeting is being prepared for later this month. And then there's also, of course, President Trump with his cabinet going to Davos later this month. A Chinese delegation will be there, too, so there could be some engagement there.
We now await statements from Washington and Beijing for details on progress made in this round of talks.
Meanwhile, sources tell Bloomberg President Trump is eager to strike a trade deal to help boost stocks. Sean Donnan has details from the Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Increasingly in the White House, President Trump is minded to try and strike some kind of deal to find a way out of this. A lot is going to depend on where President Trump is. And what we're hearing increasingly is that he wants to strike a deal and he wants to do it soon. He wants to calm the market.
That has some China hawks in the administration increasingly concerned about how market volatility is affecting the president's mood on trade.
But there's word that the president could soon have even more power when it comes to trade policy. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with that story. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Karen. Sources tell Bloomberg President Trump will use his State of the Union address to urge Congress to expand his powers to increase U.S. tariffs. The bill, crafted by White House trade advisor Peter Navarro's office, would give the president broad authority to increase levies on U.S. exports if he considers trade measures from other countries to be too restrictive. Sources say the White House has been working on the initiative with a few House Republicans, but it's unclear whether the bill will succeed. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thanks. Stocks in Asia posted gains today as positive signs emerged from trade talks in Beijing. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us with details on that from Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Chinese and Hong Kong stocks led gains on news of further stimulus efforts. The Nikkei 225 rose by over 1% in Tokyo, with pharma companies and electronics the best performers. The Aussie dollar and yuan rose amid the trade optimism, while India's rupee led declines amongst Asian FX as crude oil hit a three-week high. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sally, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. Stocks in Europe are also getting a boost this morning. Let's bring in Bloomberg Sebastian Salik live in London with the latest. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. Yeah, European stocks up about 0.8%. The majority of sector groups rising. We're led today by the automakers that, after the news from China signalling their intention to boost the consumption of cars in the country. It's also been a strong session for the miners, with WT oil back above $50. The telecoms suffering. They're the worst performing sector for a second day now. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salik, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Sebastian, thank you. West Texas Intermediate crude is back above $50 a barrel, extending its longest rally in a year and a half. It is part of the global gain in risk assets as fears ease that the trade war will hurt demand. Checking prices now, West Texas Intermediate is up 2.3%, $1.14 higher, $50.91 a barrel. Brent crude at one point was above $60 a barrel for the first time since December. Right now it's at $59.89.
We get minutes from the Federal Reserve's December policy meeting today at 2 p.m. Wall Street time. Bloomberg's Vinnie Dalgiudice reports.
Central bankers raised the federal funds target another quarter point last month, but also signaled fewer rate hikes this year. Bloomberg Economics says the minutes will be scrutinized for clues to the Fed's thinking amid signs the economy is shifting into a lower gear. Earlier this week, the president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta, Raphael Bostic, said the central bank should opt for just one rate hike this year. Vinnie Dalgiudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Vinnie. And a programming note, tune in this morning for an exclusive interview with Boston Fed President Eric Rosengren. He sits down for a conversation on Bloomberg Radio and television at 1:30 p.m. Wall Street time. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg. And it's 5:07 on Wall Street. Michael Barr is here to tell us more what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. President Trump and Democratic leaders have presented their cases regarding the government shutdown and border wall. However, is it enough to provide some sort of breakthrough to end the partial government shutdown, now in its 19th day? Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports.
Mr. Trump painted a picture of human suffering, loss of American lives at the hands of immigrants, a drug crisis created by lax security at the southern border. He drew an analogy of why wealthy Americans build walls.
They don't build walls because they hate the people on the outside, but because they love the people on the inside.
Democratic Senator Chuck Schumer and Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi say the issues are separate and the government needs to be reopened while the right way to border security is found.
We can build the infrastructure and roads at our ports of entry. We can install new technology to scan cars and trucks for drugs coming into our nation.
Another meeting at the White House is scheduled in San Francisco. I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Radio.
Deputy Attorney General Ron Rosenstein is expected to leave his role at the Department of Justice in the coming weeks once the new AG is confirmed. That's according to ABC News. Special Counsel Robert Mueller's team suspects that former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort shared polling data on the 2016 election with an associate tied to Russian intelligence and lied about it. It's from a court filing by Manafort's lawyers after portions of the document were improperly redacted and allowed an unintended glimpse. British Prime Minister Theresa May will restart her stalled bid to win support for her Brexit deal today. Bloomberg's Tim Ross in London reports it comes a day after her strategy suffered a serious defeat.
Theresa May has just 5 working days to convince Parliament to back her Brexit deal in a key vote next week. She's warning that politicians will risk a damaging no-deal departure in March if they reject her Brexit blueprint. But on Tuesday night, members of Parliament dealt a blow to May's strategy by voting against her no-deal plans. In London, Tim Ross, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Tough night for the local teams, John Stanshour.
Nathan, the Knicks have been on the road for 2 weeks. They played 6 games. They lost 5 of them. No surprise last night against the 2-time defending NBA champions. Golden State cruised 122-95. Klay Thompson scored 43 points. So the Knicks hit the halfway mark of the season, 10-31. The rookie head coach is David Fizdale.
We got to learn how to play complete games, hopefully over the second half of the season. But, you know, I expect us to continue to get better. I expect the second half for the young guys to be a little more familiar, you know, and hopefully we can get a little more trust between us because, you know, we go through waves of trust offensively right now. You know, it's a combination of things that bring that up, but, you know, we'll keep working at that. I know our intentions are well, and, I expect us to keep improving.
It was the Knicks' last game ever at Oracle Arena in Oakland. Rangers losing streak reached 4, at least a little closer this time, but a 4-2 setback in Vegas. Islanders were back at the Nassau Coliseum. Their 6-game winning streak came to an end, beaten by Carolina 4-3. The Devils lost in Buffalo 5-1. All 5 Sabres goals came in the second period. St. John's made a visit to the defending NCAA champions, had a late lead at Villanova, but the Wildcats finished on a 14-4 run and won 76-71. Easy win for top-ranked Duke at Wake Forest. NFL coaching news, Tampa Bay and Arizona went different ways. The Bucs hired a coaching lifer who was in retirement in Bruce Arians. Arizona, where Arians was the coach for 5 years, went with 39-year-old Cliff Kingsbury, who not only doesn't have NFL experience, he was just fired at Texas Tech. Ex-Green Bay coach Mike McCarthy reportedly interested in only one job, and it's the Jets. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
Thank you, John. In other sports news, New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft has been awarded Israel's 2019 Genesis Prize in recognition of his philanthropy and commitment to fight anti-Semitism. The million-dollar award is widely known as the Jewish Nobel Prize. The money will be donated to initiatives combating anti-Semitism and other forms of prejudice. Futures pointed higher ahead of the market open this morning. S&P futures up 10 points or 0.4%. Dow futures up 104. That's a 0.4% gain as well. NASDAQ futures up 0.5%, a point gain of 32 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Stevens Institute of Technology, the Quant School on the Hudson, with an online master's in financial analytics that teaches the latest data science techniques. Learn more at stevens.edu/fintech.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and stocks are gaining from Europe to Asia, and U.S. stock index futures are rising as the U.S. and China concluded 3 days of trade talks on an optimistic note. Oil climbing above $50 a barrel and most industrial metals advancing after the Asian nation stepped up measures to spur consumption. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 10 points. Dow futures up 102. NASDAQ futures up 30. The DAX in Germany is up 0.9%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32. The yield 2.73%. Yield on the 2-year 2.59%. NYMEX crude oil is up 2.5%, up $1.27 to $51.04 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.3%, down $3.60 to $1,282.30 an ounce. The euro, $1.1460, the yen, 108.91. We get a look at U.S. housing demand this morning with earnings from Lennar. Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger reports.
Bloomberg Intelligence expects the home builders' fourth quarter results to reflect demand challenges, and it is likely that demand will be the key focus through the first several weeks of the first quarter, given the recent changes in interest rates. Investors will also look closely at the company's buyer incentives. Analysts are looking for Lennar to post an adjusted profit of $1.98 a share on revenue topping $6.5 billion. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thank you. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Karen. President Trump again linked illegal immigration along the Mexican border with drugs and violent crime as he urged Democratic lawmakers to fund a border wall. In his Oval Office speech, the president called the border issue a crisis but stopped short of calling for a national emergency as the government shutdown is in its 19th day. Today, President Trump plans to visit Senate Republicans at the Capitol before meeting with Democratic leaders at the White House. Full of misinformation and even malice. That's how House Speaker Nancy Pelosi characterized President Trump last night during the Democratic response. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says President Trump has appealed to fear, not facts. In the NBA, the Knicks lost to the Warriors. The Wizards lost. In the NHL, the Islanders, the Rangers, and the Devils all lost. Capitals and Bruins won. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. We're coming up on 520 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and we're joined now by Greg Valliere, Chief Global Strategist at Horizon Investments. Greg, Michael just gave us a pretty good summary of the primetime address from the president and the Democratic response. Are we any closer to a resolution to this impasse that's had the government shut down now nearly 3 weeks?
I think we're getting there, Nathan. I think maybe by the end of next week, the problems that have arisen because of the shutdown will become acute. Things like long wait lines at airport security, things like farmers not getting subsidies. So, yeah, I think we're getting closer. I think Trump helped himself a little bit last night with his base. But now there's other events. We've got big votes coming up in the House, and Nancy Pelosi is going to get a lot of defectors from the Republicans.
Interesting you say that the president helped himself with his base, given that an Oval Office address traditionally is used to address the nation as a whole, particularly in times of crisis. And the president did characterize what's happening at the border as a national crisis. Did the president do himself any favors in terms of broadening that hardline immigration message to a broader American electorate?
Well, first of all, there's nothing traditional about this president. He does so many unusual outside-the-box things. Yeah, he might have helped himself a little bit. I think there's a national consensus that there's a need for stronger border security. There is not a consensus on the wall, and there certainly is not a consensus that the shutdown is a good idea. I think that you can just see the arguments hardening. Trump feels he's protecting the country's security. The Democrats want 800,000 people to get a paycheck. So there are big differences, but again, I think by the middle to the end of next week, there's going to be real pressure to get something done.
So where do you see this going? What is the next step here?
Well, Trump goes to the border in the next day or so. That'll be a big photo op. There's another meeting today at the White House. You've got everybody pouring over overnight polls. We'll see just how Trump did. So there are a lot of developments just in the next 24 hours. But I think, again, the big thing is the Pelosi votes in the House. I think a lot of Republicans will agree to open up parts of the government. That puts real pressure on Mitch McConnell and on Trump.
Curious whether you think we'll be closer to a deal on the border or closer to a deal on trade with China anytime soon.
Well, isn't that interesting? I would argue that with last night sort of a draw, the really big story for the markets, Nathan, is out of Beijing. They extended the talks for an extra day. That's encouraging. There are signs the Chinese are going to agree to buy more U.S. goods. There's still work to be done on verification. You've got to certify all the promises that were made. But I increasingly think there'll be an agreement in principle by the end of the winter.
Yeah, I mean, it does sound as though the agreements that have been made at this point, some of the word we've heard about, you know, increasing purchases of certain goods are similar to statements that we've heard from past agreements. What makes this any different?
I think two things. Number one, the Chinese have to be worried about a very sharply weakening economy, which could lead to layoffs, and the great fear of the Chinese leadership is social unrest. The other issue, of course, is that the markets in the U.S. have sent a message to Donald Trump, get a deal. The longer we don't have a deal, the longer the markets will reflect that anxiety.
Is there a risk, though, that if there's too much focus on the markets, it would make it more difficult for the administration to make a longer term, more lasting deal, more of a structural deal to change some of China's behavior?
Well, that's a good point. And you've got trade hawks like Peter Navarro, who would be outraged if we get a wimpy deal. So it puts Trump in an awkward position. But, you know, Trump has a way of spinning a deal, whether it's NAFTA, you name it, talking with North Korea. He could declare a victory. And I do think there's an increasing chance that the Chinese will make some significant concessions.
Greg Valliere, Chief Global Strategist at Horizon Investments. Again, always good to get your insights on the border situation and the U.S.-China trade talks. Thanks again for being with us here on Bloomberg Daybreak, a morning where futures are pointed higher With S&P futures up 8 points, or about 0.3%. Dow futures up 83 points. That's a 0.3% gain as well. NASDAQ futures up about 0.4%, or 24 points. Price of the 10-year Treasury down 2/32. The yield 2.73%. Two-year Treasuries at 2.58%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Eisner Amper. If you're looking to defer or eliminate capital gains taxes, the Qualified Opportunity Zone program provides significant tax benefits to investors and real estate developers. Visit EisnerAmper.com/QOF.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures and stocks overseas are higher once again on optimism over U.S.-China trade talks. In fact, stocks in the U.S. are enjoying their best start to the year in at least a decade. President Trump's address to the nation on border security is doing little to disrupt the risk-on mood. We'll have more on that speech in just a moment.
As for trade, the two countries did wrap up discussions in Beijing today. Bloomberg Daybreak anchor Brian Curtis has details from Hong Kong.
The talks in Beijing were extended for a third day today. That alone was considered positive by investors. Then sources told us that President Trump wants a deal to help soothe the markets. Now, since these talks started back in May, they have repeatedly yielded no breakthroughs. But with Hong Kong and China stocks rallying around 2% today, it seems investors are saying this time could be different. In Hong Kong, I'm Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brian, thanks. And sources tell Bloomberg the U.S. and China are getting closer on areas including energy and agriculture, but further apart on some tougher trade issues.
The thaw in trade tensions is helping oil rise for an eighth straight session, its longest rally in a year and a half. Checking prices now, NYMEX crude oil is up 2%. It's at $50.75 a barrel. Brent is up 1.7% at $59.67.
Now, the trade disputes impacting the auto market in China. Annual car sales there dropped for the first time in more than two decades.
The incoming chief executive officer at Daimler is expressing optimism at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. He says the Mercedes-Benz maker can deliver another year of record sales, despite forecasts for the first contraction in industry demand in a decade.
Investors will also focus on the Fed today at 2 p.m. Wall Street time. The Federal Reserve issues minutes from its December policy meeting.
And in the UK, Parliament resumes debate on the Brexit withdrawal bill, with Prime Minister Theresa May seeking to avoid defeat in a vote set for next week. Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, futures are higher. S&P futures up 5.5 points. Dow futures up 62. NASDAQ futures up about 20. The DAX in Germany is up 0.7%. CAC in Paris up 1%. FTSE 100 up 0.8%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.73%. Yield on the two-year, 2.58%. COMEX Gold is down about 0.3%, down $4.20 to $12.81.70 an ounce. The euro, $1.1454. The British pound, $1.2722. And the yen is at 108.92. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thank you, Karen. It is 5:33 on Wall Street. Michael Barr has more of what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. President Donald Trump demanded Congress provide billions of dollars more to combat illegal migration in a primetime address. However, the president stopped short of declaring a national emergency as the standoff continues over a proposed wall on the Mexican border.
This is a humanitarian crisis, a crisis of the heart, and a crisis of the soul.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer rejected President Trump's description of a crisis on the Mexican border in their response to the president's address. Pelosi says much of what the president said is, quote, full of misinformation and even malice.
President Trump has chosen to hold hostage critical services for the health, safety, and well-being of the American people, and withhold the paychecks of 800,000 innocent workers across the nation, many of them veterans.
Today, the president is expected to have lunch with Senate Republicans, and later the president will meet with congressional leaders from both sides of the aisle at the White House. The partial government shutdown has entered its 19th day. Deputy Attorney General Ron Rosenstein is reportedly expected to leave his role at the Department of Justice in the coming weeks once the new AG is confirmed. ABC News, citing multiple unidentified people, reports Rosenstein told President Trump his plan to depart around the time of the president's AG pick will take place when William Barr takes office following a Senate confirmation. Former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort is accused of sharing information related to the 2016 election with a Russian contact. Bloomberg's Bob Moon has the story.
The information was accidentally revealed in a defense filing that was meant to be redacted. It shows that Manafort shared polling data during the 2016 presidential campaign with a business associate accused of having ties to Russian intelligence, and according to the court filing, prosecutors accused Manafort of lying to them about it. Manafort denied intentionally lying, though he agreed he might have recalled some things incorrectly. Still, it raises the possibility that Russia might have used inside information from Trump's Republican campaign as part of its effort to interfere with the election on Trump's behalf. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Kim Jong-un's train has left Beijing after a two-day visit by the North Korean leader to the Chinese capital. The long train was seen today heading toward eastern China. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 5:36 on Wall Street, and John Stashower has this morning's Bloomberg NBC Sports Update.
Nathan, talk about a rough night for local teams. The Knicks, the Rangers, the Devils, Islanders, St. John's, everyone lost. No surprise about the Knicks at Golden State. All Warriors, 122-95 as Klay Thompson went off for 43 points. The Knicks road trip is over at 1-5. First half of the season is over at 10-31. The Rangers' fourth straight loss was 4-2 in Las Vegas. Golden Knights' seventh straight win. Devils fell 5-1 in Buffalo. All five Sabres goals came in the second period. The Islanders' six-game win streak came to an end at the Nassau Coliseum. Isles and Carolina tied at 2. 3 minutes left. Hurricanes with two goals, a minute and a half apart. Isles got one back 8 seconds later, but Barry Trotz's team lost 4-3.
I thought we just mismanaged the game. You look at all their goals. First goal didn't have layers. We're stuck on the wall when there's a battle on the puck. Therefore, they're able to take it to the net, get a little bit of a lucky bounce out of it. You know, I didn't think we had enough of our lines going. I thought the Nelson line was really good for us. The rest, not as good as I'd like to see.
Islanders visit the Rangers tomorrow night. Good effort by St. John's. Fell short at Villanova, 76-71. Shamori Ponds, 23 points in the loss. Word is the only job former Green Bay coach Mike McCarthy is interested in is the Jets' job. The Jets considered hiring Cliff Kingsbury, but he got hired by Arizona despite no NFL experience, and he just got fired at Texas Tech. Kingsbury was going to be an assistant at USC, but the Cardinals hired him based on his experience working with young quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes and Baker Mayfield. At Arizona, he replaces Steve Wilks, who lasted just one season following Bruce Arians. Arians has been hired as a new coach at Tampa Bay. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. It's 5:37 on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. The cover story is President Trump's love-hate relationship with the stock market. Also in this week's issue, how the National Rifle Association is going global. Neil Weinberg wrote the story for Bloomberg Businessweek.
What people don't really understand is that a lot of these guns are coming from overseas, and U.S. gun manufacturers are also trying to sell increasingly overseas. You can see these trends in the import and the export numbers.
Read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Businessweek. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now, and listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Curry.
Morning, Nathan. Purdue Pharma, Johnson & Johnson, and other makers of opioid painkillers will not have to face lawsuits by 37 Connecticut cities. A judge in that state has ruled that the laws there don't provide a basis for the city's attempts to recover indirect damages stemming from the public health crisis over opioids. HNA Group, a Chinese firm, has sold a building in Manhattan. The deal will help ease the embattled conglomerate's debts and ease U.S. concerns about a Chinese company owning property near Trump Tower. The sale was announced in a statement by HNA, which did not give details. 2019 is going to be a moment of truth for risky projects all over the country and the municipal bond investors who bet on them. More than $1 billion in unrated municipal bonds were issued in 2017 to finance the New Jersey American Dream Mega Mall and Amusement Complex. It sat half built for years and was called an eyesore by former Governor Chris Christie. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
Thank you, Ed. It's 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KRLD in Dallas. JCPenney's new chief executive is beginning to close some underperforming stores.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on KNX in Los Angeles, I'm reporting on the resignation of the CEO of Herbalife.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're following the debate on Theresa May's Brexit deal as it resumes in Parliament.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that Sears chairman Eddie Lampert is getting another shot at saving the retailer.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting Fiat Chrysler is close to a settlement with the Justice Department that concerns clean air rules.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. And another sign of the sales slowdown at Apple, Japan's Nikkei newspaper reports the company's told suppliers of the latest iPhone to cut production of the new models by about 10% over the coming quarter. Futures pointed higher. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by Fairleigh Dickinson University's Silberman College of Business, offering an executive MBA and a blended Saturday MBA that combines online and on-campus classes. Visit fdugrad.org/radio.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks gaining from Europe to Asia. U.S. futures are rising. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 6 points this morning. Dow futures are up 63, and NASDAQ futures up 21. The DAX in Germany is up 0.9%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield at 2.73%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.58%. NYMEX crude oil up 2%, up $1 to $50.78 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.33% on $4.40 to $12.81.50 an ounce. The euro, $1.1447, and the yen, 108.92. And Reuters reporting that Fitch is warning of a possible cut to the U.S. is AAA rating. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump says his administration's $5.7 billion request for a physical barrier along the southern border would be a steel barrier that is absolutely critical to U.S. national security. President Trump, in a televised address to the nation from the Oval Office last night, says a 45-minute meeting with Democrats could resolve the impasse and reopen the government. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer, in a response to the president's speech, reiterated their position to sign legislation to end the shutdown, then negotiate over border security. In the NBA, the Knicks lost to the Warriors. The Wizards lost. In the NHL, egads, the Islanders, the Rangers, and the Devils all lost. The Capitals and Bruins won. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, where it's coming up on 5:49 on Wall Street. Our guest this morning, Terry Haynes, head of political analysis at Evercore ISI. As we heard from Michael just a moment ago, Terry, we heard two sides of what the crisis is in this country. President Trump in his Oval Office address saying it's a national crisis at the border. Democrats countering the crisis is the government shutdown. Did either side make any headway last night?
Good morning, Nathan. I think on balance, neither side made much headway. I think the president was smart and right to politically to cast this the way he did as a humanitarian security crisis, and put it in a context where he says he has submitted a plan to Congress for greater border security, part of which is a physical barrier. And the physical barrier, it's been clear for some time, I mean, well before the shutdown, is not meant to be some sort of comprehensive physical barrier. So, what he's done essentially is talk about the importance of the issue overall, using the power of the presidency to cast that debate. I think he marginally helped himself, but by itself, this is not a game changer.
What would need to change the game then? I mean, other than an Oval Office address?
What both parties have done is actually played politics with this issue. I mean, that's a shocker, right? On one level, the president picked this fight by asking for additional money for physical border security very late in the appropriations game, and the Democrats picked the fight back by saying that whatever else they would do, they wouldn't do anything for a physical barrier, even though there are lots of physical barriers on the southern border. So both essentially are playing to their party's bases. What needs to happen, frankly, is that the politics, the political gain from these positions needs to dissipate. I don't think it dissipates for another week or so, but eventually both sides are going to figure out that there's not much to be gained here, and I think they're going to move along and cut a deal. Whether it be on border security alone or whether it be on some sort of border security for Dreamers legislation. A year ago, I'm not being partisan by saying so. A year ago, Democrats very much shut down the government over wanting more protections for Dreamers. That sort of border security for Dreamers deal is still there to be done, although there's no real evidence that either party wants to work on it.
Yeah, I wonder, given that what you just pointed out, that there have been government shutdowns before. I mean, is this the new normal when either side wants something politically or policy-wise that if they're not going to get it, they're just going to shut down the government to make something happen?
Well, my fear is that for markets is that that might become the new normal. What we've had, I think, since 2011, since the near default scenario happened over debt ceiling, is essentially a bipartisan centrist coalition of Democrats and Republicans who have all made sure to compromise and keep the government open. So Democrats always want much more money for domestic spending and not so much for defense, and Republicans the reverse. And what ends up happening is there's been some sort of uneasy compromise. I call that fiscal continuity, and it's been going on long enough now, 8 years or so, that markets have started to take it for granted. I always mention it as an accomplishment, modest one, but important of the Congresses of the past. But now what I'm concerned by, to your question, is that this does in fact become the new normal. When this shutdown, which is 25% of the government by spending, gets resolved, there won't be another funding fight until fall. But my concern is that more fights get picked, either by Trump, by congressional Republicans, congressional Democrats, whoever it is, and that this turns into the new normal. And that would be a market negative that would disturb that fiscal continuity scenario and play into the other uncertainties around Washington and the Trump presidency in a way that could be very similar to what happened over Christmas. So that's a problem. Good news, it doesn't happen for months. The bad news is it might well start happening again.
All right, we'll have to leave it there for now. Terry Haynes, head of political analysis at Evercore ISI. Always good to get your insights. Thanks for joining us this morning here on Bloomberg Daybreak. Karen.
Nathan, thank you. 5:54 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
Alibaba has blocked 200,000 tax-avoiding vendors as nations including China, India, Germany, and the UK move to collect sales taxes from e-commerce platforms. Costco Wholesale lost a bid to reverse or reduce a $19 million judgment against it for allegedly selling counterfeit Tiffany & Company engagement rings. And the Federal Trade Commission's Do Not Call registry is not operating during the partial government shutdown. A statement on its website says the registry will resume normal operations when the government is funded.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, Steve, thank you. Now, in other legal news, the Supreme Court declined to hear actress Olivia de Havilland's lawsuit over how she was portrayed in an FX drama. It's a decision favoring First Amendment free speech rights over California's right of publicity law. For more on this story, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks to Terrence Ross, a partner in the Washington, D.C. office of Cadden, Muchen & Rosenman.
Terry, explain de Havilland's legal claims in this lawsuit.
She made three claims. She claimed that there was an invasion of privacy going on, taking certain of her personal moments. She claimed that the docudrama portrayed her in a false light as a vulgar, sort of unpleasant person. And finally, she filed a claim under California statute protecting rights of publicity for celebrities, essentially saying that they were capitalizing on her celebrity appeal, on her name as a movie star.
So the Supreme Court turned away her appeal on Monday without any comment. So that leaves in place the decision by the California courts. What did those courts decide? Why did they dismiss her lawsuit?
Well, the trial court initially accepted the lawsuit and refused to grant a motion to dismiss that was filed by FX Network and the other defendants. But it went up on appeal rather quickly to an intermediate California appellate court, which reversed the lower court and threw out the lawsuit in its totality. Fundamentally, the court said that the First Amendment protects these types of docudramas as long as they are in some way transformative. In other words, it can be based on the actual facts that took place historically, but if there's enough fictional elements added, then the First Amendment protection for expressive works comes into play, and these sorts of lawsuits will be dismissed.
And that's Terrence Ross, a partner at Cadden, Muchen & Rosenman, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. And just more on that headline we gave you earlier about Fitch warning of a possible cut to the U.S. AAA sovereign credit rating later this year. Reuters cited comments by Fitch's global head of sovereign ratings, James McCormick. McCormick warning that if the shutdown continues to March 1st and the debt ceiling becomes a problem months later, Fitch may need to consider whether the policy framework and the inability to pass a budget are consistent with a AAA rating. And futures this morning are moving higher, with S&P futures up 8.5 points, Dow futures up 92, NASDAQ futures up 29. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.